class is the Wednesday. Wait, the last day of Pesach is
Wednesday night.
Wednesday night. So that's right, the following Wednesday. Okay, the following Wednesday. Huh? Oh, this class. We will be starting classes already the following Monday. In other words, the school has classes all over, you understand. All right. Okay. Chapter 11, I believe it was. Well, I just want to... I just want to at least read the Gemara. There's a Gemara here in Masechet Shabbos where the Gemara talks about Reuven, Bnei Eli, the sons of Eli. There are terrible things said at the beginning of Sefer Shmuel about the sons of Eli. Bnei Shmuel, the sons of Shmuel, says that the sons of Shmuel did not go in the way of their father. David, the sins of Shlomo, of David, Shlomo, and then Yoshiyahu. Now, the Gemara basically follows one pattern. In each case it says, Kol HaOmer, whoever says, Bnei Eli Chotu, the sons of Eli, made a mistake, sin is making a mistake. Whoever says that the sons of Shmuel sinned is making a mistake. Whoever says that David sinned is making a mistake. And so the Gemara goes through all of these great people about whom the impression is left in Tanakh that they made terrible mistakes. Or not terrible mistakes, they sinned terribly. And the Gemara says whoever thinks that is making a terrible mistake, simply does not understand what happened. Let me just read what the Gemara says about Shlomo HaMelech. Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Amar Rav Yonatan, Rav Shmuel, the son of Nachmeni, said the name of Yonatan, Kol HaOmer Shlomo Chota Eino Ela Toa. Whoever says that Shlomo sinned is making a mistake. Is making a mistake. Shenemar, because it says, and this is a passage that we learned last week, it's in our chapter, V'lo ha'yo levavo shalem im Hashem alukav kilevav David aviv. His heart was not complete with God like the heart of his father David. From which the Gemara says, kilevav David aviv hu delo haver. His heart was not like David, but michde nami lo chata, he didn't sin. Now, by virtue of the fact that the Pasuk, if we're talking about Shlomo HaMelech as having sinned, so can you say that, well, he was not as great a tzaddik as his father? If he sinned, and certainly if he sinned the kind of sins that are listed over here, that he loved all sorts of foreign and strange women, a whole harem, a stable of shiksas, and that he built idols, he built altars to all sorts of idols. I mean, that's not idle talk. That's serious, serious stuff. At least somebody got it. That's very serious. I have a feeling that the psukim over here by Shlomo, now I have a feeling, I'm certain, that what the Tanakh in this chapter says about Shlomo is infinitely worse than what it says about any of the other so-called sinners. I mean, it's terrible. It's terrible what it says. Look at the pasuk of Hamel Shlomo, Ahav Noshim Nachriyot. That was bothering you, the word Ahav. He loved Noshim Nachriyot. Rabot, many of them, and Bat Paro. He loved Moaviot, and Ammoniot, and Adomiot, and Sidoniot, and Chitiot. Min Hagoyim, from those nations that God had said to the children of Israel that they shall not come in you and you shall not join with them in marriage. Those whom God had said they will move your heart away by him, Dovak Shlomo La'ava. I mean, he clung to them with love. And then when it comes to Pasuk 4, we're talking about idolatry. By he laid Zidmak Shlomo at the 8th time that Shlomo grew old, not of Hitu at Levono, Acharei Elohim Achedim, his wives moved him toward other gods. This is the pasuk that the Gemara is bringing. Obviously, when you read this pasuk, it's in stark and sharp contrast to what was said before. In other words, we're saying this fellow who loved and clung and cleaved to all sorts of shiksas, and we're going to see that he built altars to all of them, and all you have to say about him is that he wasn't as from, he wasn't as charedi as his father David. I mean, is this what we're saying? We're talking about there's no doubt about it that the accusations that are hurled by the Tanakh at Shlomo HaMelech are unparalleled. By the way, maybe it would be interesting to note also, nowhere in Divrei Hayamim is there any mention of any of this. Divrei Hayamim, which is the parallel corresponding story, has everything that up until now, everything about Shlomo up until now appears in Divrei Hayamim. Nothing about his wives, nothing about the altars to idols, not a word. Not a word. I've seen all sorts of different Perushim. Why not? I haven't found anything that makes me terribly happy. Exactly. There's nothing that makes me terribly happy. You see, because you can't say that Divrei Hayamim is an attempt to cover up. It can't be an attempt to cover up, because Divrei Hayamim is part of the same Tanakh that Malachim is part of. And once it's stated here in Malachim, then that's it. It has been said. Unless, of course, and this is the thought that occurs to me, I usually think on very simple levels. Whatever I saw, you know, are all esoteric. I have a feeling that maybe Divrei Hayamim is giving us the balance that is necessary. The fact that it doesn't appear in Divrei Hayamim is in order that you should ask the question, and why doesn't it appear? And you know what the answer that you're supposed to give? The answer you're supposed to say is that what is said over here is not history. I'll tell you. You're going to listen. You just listen to me now. Tanakh is not a book of history. It's not a book of history. If anything, it is a book of spirituality, of prophecy, of dreams, of hopes. The Navi also has a purpose to admonish, to criticize when criticism is necessary. You know, if we have to take the first 11 psukim, the first 10 psukim of this chapter, could we say that this is in a newspaper, Lahavdil, in a newspaper, in a decent newspaper, there is the news, you know, the factual news, and then there are the editorials, right? Now, nobody's going to say that the editorials are news. The editorials are comments on the news, or ideas about what should be done or what shouldn't be done, or what should not have been done or what was wrong, okay? If these 10 psukim would be history and factual, then they should appear in Divrei Hayamim as well as they appear here. By virtue of the fact that they don't appear in Divrei Hayamim, you know what message is being sent to you? Go back, reader, go back and take a look at those psukim. And you know what you have to understand when you read those psukim? They are not history, not factual history, but that they are editorial comment. If you will ask, did Shlomo HaMelech marry Shiksas? Now, from the text, what does it say? The text, he married many Shiksas. Okay, what did we learn last week? Last week we learned the Rambam, Al Yaleh Al Datcha, It should never occur to you, Zolkeimu nicht einfallen, that David and that Shimshon and Shlomo married women while they were shiksas. Ella, the Rambam told us, and we went through the whole Rambam where he tells us precisely what the halacha is. All of these women went through a process of conversion. They were not shiksas. So now I'll ask you again. Huh? Oh, we'll get to their gods. Well, of course. Take care. So that means like this. The Rambam comes along and tells me, factually, no such thing. He never married a shiksa. You read the psukim over here, he married women from those people that God had said they should not come in us, we shall not come in them. You know? So therefore, what must we conclude? We must conclude that what's being written here is editorial comment. It more than editorial comment. The Navi is condemning Shlomo HaMelech for something, but he is not condemning him for having married shiksas. Wait a minute. When it talks, we're going to finish the Gemara here in a moment, and we'll see what it says with regard to his building. It says that he built altars to other gods. Now, if it would be historical and factual, then it should appear in Divrei Hayamim as well. The fact that it's missing over there means to tell us that it's not historical and it's not factual. But God would have expected more of Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech did not fulfill the hopes that the Rebbeinu Shlomo had placed in him. He assumed that with the wisdom that he was given, with the wealth that he was given, with all of that, he would be able to rise to even greater heights, and he simply didn't make those heights. I don't know, Alex, you don't look like you're convinced. Yeah, go ahead, let's hear.
Well, first of all, you're telling me that what the Tanakh says here is that it's what that's number one. Number two, unfortunately,
if he would have committed the crimes that are attributed to him here, do you know what should have happened? He should have been hauled before the Sanhedrin. Not now. For idolatry, he should have been hauled before the Sanhedrin and summarily executed. Now let me ask you something. Huh? But what was Shaul's chait? What was Shaul's chait? At them it's a target. His chait was that he didn't kill one person that he should have killed. What was it? Huh? How can who build a base of Midrash? Two questions, two answers. Number one, that was before, much before. This is the end of his days. It says the end of his days. Nashim hitu es levavo. His wives changed him. But more than that, I think that's proof that we have to look at his sins in a completely different way. We have to look at it different. Otherwise, the man simply should have been shot at dawn. Should have been strung from the nearest lamppost in Yerushalayim. Yes, sir.
And told
that was the Gemara said by David that Lo Haya David Ra'ul Otoma said David was not he was not worthy that he should do something of that sort. But the purpose of what happened to David was he was tested and he was tried. And the purpose of it was in order to demonstrate that even the great and the mighty can err, but more than that, that they can do tshuva.
So the question here is could this have been written about Shlomo simply if you said it after class?
We said it at the end of class. It was incorporated into the class. You were the one that asked why he didn't say Chatosi, why he didn't say I sin, and somebody mentioned Kohelet. Kohelet was ultimately the chatasi of Shlomo HaMelech.
So could that be the reason that this
it doesn't say
so
it.
That we could learn that we need to have wealth and wisdom whenever
that's for sure. For sure. These 10 psukim are an indication that men never can trust in his own wisdom and his own piety. He never trusts himself. The only question that we're dealing with is, are these 10 psukim absolute factual? Can't be. And the proofs are, now we can list the proofs. Number one, the psukim themselves indicate that we are not talking about something factual, by virtue of the fact that the pasuk says that his heart was not like the heart of his father David. It's already an indication that what we're talking about is giving a mussar, not stating the factual. Number two, I'm saying the fact that it doesn't appear in Divrei Hayamim is an indication that this is not factual. Number three, you got it? She didn't know? She was planning on coming? Okay. Number three, the halacha in the Rambam, that therefore means that the pasuk has to be looked at in a completely different way. So we have three proofs that you simply can't look at the psukim factually. Yes?
What's the difference between the words rebuke and rebuke? In other words...
You once asked that before. You asked it about 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago.
And also in the same...
Unless probably I didn't answer it well enough.
Well, my memory is no good. The other thing is in the same...
Sir, we can't hear you.
Louder.
You know what that means? They want to hear you.
Sure. And it also, in that pasuk, it's one of the two places that David is written to open Malay.
Very nice. Sarah, I was ready to, yell at you. Mm-hmm. But I think every comment you made is very correct. She's commenting on the on that pasuk, the end of pasuk 4. Excellent. Everything you say is good. Don't let it go to your head. Okay. So I'll tell you what the pshat is. I'll explain to you everything. It says at the end of Pasuk 4, V'lo ha'yolavavo shalem im Hashem alukav kilavav David Ovid. His heart was not complete with God, his God, as the heart of his father David. Now, what Sarah has brought to our attention is, I mean, all that I had done was brought to your attention that which the Gemara says, that obviously just the sentence itself already tells us that we cannot look at everything else that was said here factually, because if somebody has committed such horrible sins, so this is all you can say about him, he wasn't as frum as David. We're talking about he was a horrible, miserable sinner. But the Sura asks the following. Number one, the pasuk could have said, V'lo ha'yo libo shalem im Hashem elokav kelev David aviv. Okay? That's number one. I would add to that, and that she also mentioned that David in this pasuk is written Dalid Vav Yud Dalid Malay. Now, I want you to know something else. In Shmuel and Malachim, David is written Dalid Vav Dalid. In Divrei Hayamim, it's always Dalid Vav Yud Dalid. His name is spelled differently in Divrei Hayamim than it is here. I haven't seen anybody comment. I'm looking over here and see a comment about why it's spelled that way over here. But I have a feeling the following. The difference between Lev and Levav is Levav represents all aspects of the human personality. Lev is a heart, a heart that pounds and sends blood rushing through the body. V'yohavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavecha. Doesn't say v'yohavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol libcha. B'chol levavcha, for example, the Gemara says, b'shnei yitzarecha, with both of your inclinations, the yitzar hara and the yitzar tov. You can turn the yitzar hara, the evil inclination, you can turn it into a positive force for the good. And the great challenge is to turn, to use man's ego and man's desire for all sorts of things, to channel them, use all of that strength, and use all of that yearning or longing or even lust, and channel it for the good. That's the Yahafta of Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. With all aspects of your personality. If they would want to say over here, if they would want to say that he was just a bad man, then it would have said Lev, not Levav. Levav means that we're talking about all of the aspects that make up the totality of the heart of a Shlomo HaMelech. He did not complete that fully as he should have. Kilavav David Aviv. Why David is spelled with a Malay? Because just like we're talking about the entirety of his Levav, then we speak of the entire David. And the complete David is Dalet Vav Yud. Dalet Vav Yud. Dalet. What the Pasuk is saying, therefore, is there's a standard that the Rabbeinu Shlalim had set for Shlomo HaMelech different than the standard that he set for every other human being. Because remember, he was granted the special gift of wisdom from God himself. And therefore, God expects better. What really happened is the following. He was given two great gifts, wisdom and wealth. And he failed in both. What did he say with all of his wisdom? He said, since the Torah says that a king should not have many wives, much gold and silver and horses, because he may come to err as a result. So he thought that by virtue of his wisdom, he can do it. And he's not going to err. Showed him, no. Your wisdom simply, you can be a little too clean, and that really is what he says in Kohelet. He's going to talk about wisdom, and he's going to talk about wealth, and that he experienced both wisdom and wealth. And you know what he learned from them all? It's all sheker achein vehevel ayefi. It's all sheker, the whole business. A man can destroy himself with wisdom. And the end of all people is the same place. Wealth also does not bring happiness. You know that? Wealth is not a guarantee for happiness. Okay? And therefore he says, Sov Dovar Hakol Nimsa, what's the end of all things at the Elokim Yirah? Fear of God. So I think that I'm just going to finish the Gemara over here. But I've said it so often, and I'll just say it again for the record. The very fact that these 10 psukim are written in Tanakh is the greatest proof of the truthfulness of Tanakh. No other people would ever have written such psukim about their great ones and have made it part of their holy Tanakh. In all civilizations, ad hayom hazeh, you cover up the errors of the great. You know, you whitewash. You don't say everything. You know, you don't say everything out. Maybe 100 years later, some historian or biographer is going to find out that Washington was a drunk. Incidentally, when I found out that George Washington was a drunk, it was one of the devastating moments of my life. Here I had gone to school in the United States of America, first in war, first in peace, first in the hearts of his countrymen. George Washington was one of my great heroes. Never lied. That's right, never lied. I will not tell a lie. You know, I chopped down the cherry tree. Then I found out later that he was Thomas Jefferson. All men are created equal. Then you find out that in Mount Vernon over there, he had stables of of slaves. The man was a Simon Legree. You understand? So Thomas Jefferson. I mean, so all of my great heroes simply was shattered before my eyes when it happened. I thought I was going to become an apocalypse, become an East American citizen. Because there's a cover-up. There's the cover-up. And certainly not in the holy writings of any people will you find anything bad about the Yeshu or about Mohammed. And over here, Shlomo HaMelech HaChacham Mikol Adam, the wisest of all men, the one whom God himself says, I love him. Torah is able to point out their faults. Listen, aren't we living now in a time of great cover-up? Great cover-up. It's amazing the cover-up that's going on. There's so many things that are simply being concealed. And here, for all time, words of such sharpness are said about Shlomo HaMelech, which means we can always cushion every word of Torah. You know that every word of Torah is true. It simply is different than all of the books of any other religion. Different. There will be condemnation, and even if the condemnation is only about something that is really very, very, is minor in comparison to what it sounds like. That's the way Torah is. Torah is true. We'll go there and then there, man. Watch yourself. Yeah.
The thing there is that maybe Shlomo can write to Melech and get forgiveness for it, but the Shlomo had a good time in his life and succeeded, and it's what you're saying about it. You want to try to make a cover up, maybe 10 Shvatim. So we were great for 40 years, but because of his mistake, finished 40 years, and then we're going on. He didn't even prepare a good leader after him. That he prepared a good leader, and that's the beauty of the greatness of Moshe, that he prepared. He almost didn't, but then afterwards he prepared Shlomo. Who did Shlomo prepare? That son of his. He made the action. Luckily. That's when we suffered. The Am suffered. Until today we suffer.
Doesn't the Am always suffer because of the mistakes of their leaders?
So they made mistakes. The leaders are not allowed to make mistakes.
You
I can make mistakes, not least, because somebody else pays for it. Don't put it in it. That's why God told us in the first place not to have a Melech. Why are we all screaming, God, we pray for Melech again? God told us we should never have a Melech. He told us in them before. He said, don't take a Melech. But if you want a Melech, these are the limitations. But he told us, don't ever have a Melech.
I think I should have stopped someplace in Yahushua. As we go through Sefer Melachim, oh, is she going to have what to say in Sefer Melachim?
Isn't there Rashi that says that the people get the wounds that they deserve?
I see that. I should have stayed in bed this morning.
Is that my goal? To see what happens if you start early?
She said what you had to say. Right, and then I'll tell you. I mean, I'm just going to complete the Gemara, and with the Gemara, I'm going to rest my defense of Shlomo HaMelech. And what I'm really going to do is, as we go through the rest of Sefer Melachim, I'm going to show you, demonstrate to you all sorts of chapters that are clearly an indication that the Sifrei HaNeviim, the books of the Neviim, were never intended to be historically precise. What it means is the following. They were never meant to be historically wrong. Never. But precise. But I'm saying what it means, of course, is the following. That they will always leave you an indication in the Psukim. The Psukim never lie. The Psukim are always going to leave you the strong hint that what we're saying is a moral comment and not a historical one. And over here, of course, is first of all the Pasuk of Elo Hayolav Avo Shalem Im Hashem Lekav Kulevav Tavir Aviv, that all of you big mismarked into what I said today. None of you has explained that. All right? And then none of you has been able to explain Pasuk 6, Vayash Shlomo Hara Be'enei Hashem V'lo Milei Acharei Hashem K'David Aviv. None of you have been able to explain that. Because it means that he did evil in the eyes of God. What do you mean in the eyes of God? Here, 3,000 years later, all of you are sitting around over here, and you are roundly condemning Shlomo HaMelech, and you see all the evil that he did, and the Pasuk says that Shlomo did that which was evil in the eyes of God. In the eyes of men, he was a great king. They saw nothing. The only one who saw was God. And all you over here see.
They all sinned with him.
So now this great Klal Yisrael that you are trying to defend, and you are crying crocodile tears that Klal Yisrael lost 10 tribes because of him, now all of a sudden you're ready to condemn all of Klal Yisrael. There has to be silence now. Just let that sink in like I zapped her.
No, they didn't know. Communication.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? They didn't know.
You said last week they.
Three. Just one moment.
Happening. You know what's happening.
Three times a year, every Jew had to come to Jerusalem. So they didn't see the wealth, they didn't see the wives, they didn't see the altars. What are you talking about they didn't see? What goes on in Yerushalayim, the whole world knows. Ad hayom hazeh. Everything that goes on in Yerushalayim. This city is an open book to the whole world. And the only ones who are trying to conceal it is the government. They don't know what's trying to conceal from us who live here what's going on in this city. All right. Just one. You anything to attack her? Good. Yes. Very good. I see this as a. I'll tell you exactly what she said. I see this as a great tribute to me, the Rebbe who taught her all of this. I'm going to make it very contemporary. Did we come here to establish a state that's going to be a fashlugan, a corrupt state, like all of the states on the face of this earth? Or did we come here to create something that was going to be a model for all peoples?
No.
Not utopia. No. A model of honesty, integrity, truth, strength, morality. Okay? We're talking the same language. So, there is a mitzvah, Sarah says, there is a mitzvah in Torah that there should be a king. The fact is, that's a machloket in the Gemara, but the Pesach Halacha is, it says when you will come to Eretz Yisrael and you will say, Osimo alai melech, I want to place upon myself a king. So there are two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion in the Gemara says, it's your option. If you want, and you say that you want a king, then the king is going to have to follow such and such laws. V'amarto, if you will say, the Ramban and other Mepharshim say, V'amarto, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, there will come a point, V'amarto, and you shall say. You shall ask for it. That's the way God wants it to happen, that you, when you're good and ready for it, you ask for a king. The question is, what do you ask for a king? Do you ask for a king, as the Pasuk over there says, L'shafteinu k'chol ha'goyim, to judge us like all of the nations of the world? Or are you going to want upon yourselves a king? Very beautiful definition in the Gemara, in the Sech Dehori, as the Gemara says, the definition of a king, a Jewish king, is Mi she'ein al gabav ela Hashem elakav. A person who has only one power above him, God is God, but God is God is right there above him. The intentions were good, but mistakes were made.
Does that mean we're supposed to ask for a king now?
We have one! A despot! What?
Take him away every few years.
No. First of all, it's just not in the cards. The only, it's not going to work. I mean, Charles and William are taken over there. We don't have a princess. A princess we can get. She's from Haven. What?
She's available.
She's available. Unemployed, right? No. Because Malchus can only be from Malchus based on it. There's only one Malchus. And remember, there was a mistake that was made at one time in history when the Chashmonaim, Yehuda HaMaccabee, and they became kings, and they were not permitted to become kings. Kings only had to be from the house of David. The next king that we're going to have is going to be indeed Melech, the real Melech HaMashiach. That's going to be battered with all of this. By the way, why do you ask the question of the Haftarah in Yechezkel? You're going to read this week's Sedra is going to be Parashas VaYikra. In Parashas VaYikra, it says by the sin offering. Oh, this is what I have to tell you. Great. You're going to read this week. You should read for this week's Sedra. It's very difficult. It's already, the laws of Korbanos. So it says, we're VaYikra now, right? VaYikra. So it says, if a person will sin, he has to bring such and such sacrifices. If the Kohen Gadol, the Moshiach, the anointed one, is going to sin, he has to bring a different carbon. If the whole community is going to sin by virtue of the fact that the Sanhedrin made a mistake. And then there's one unusual pasuk. Asher Nasi Yecheter. When a Nasi, and the Nasi is the king, when the Nasi is going to sin, then he has a special carbon, a sacrifice that he's supposed to bring. The Gemara asks, why does it say Asher Nasi Yecheter? That's an unusual kind of pasuk. By all of the other psukim, it says, if a person will sin, Asher Nasi Yecheter, says the Gemara, and Rashi brings it on the spot. I think I may talk about it this Shabbos. Ashrei Hador, Asher, the word Asher is Ashrei Hador. Fortunate is the generation that a king is able to admit his mistake. Ashrei Hador, that the king is able to say I made a mistake, and he comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he brings a carbon chatas. Ashrei Hador. If so, now I have another approach. This is going to be part of our Kohelet approach. When Shlomo HaMelech writes Kohelet, you know what he's saying? He is saying, I saw it all, I made terrible mistakes, and this is the truth. Ashrei Hador, fortunate is a generation where the king is able to admit his mistakes and teach for all time, Sov Davar HaKol Nishma et Elokim Yirah ve'et Mitzvotav Chofetz Mil. Fear God, don't trust yourself, and keep his mitzvah. That's the last pasuk in Kohelet. Oh, Shlomo HaMelech is becoming greater and greater by the moment. The more I have to defend him from the onslaught over here, the greater I see him to be. Ashrei Hador, you have to read that Rashi. That Rashi is an unbelievable, unbelievable Rashi. Ashrei Hador, fortunate, happy is the generation in which a leader is able to say, I made a mistake. Because we know how tragic it is when leaders can never admit their mistakes. Let me finish the Gemara. So the Gemara says, his heart was not like the heart of his father David. That's all he's condemned. But michti nami lo chote, he didn't sin. Elamani mekayim. So the Gemara asks, what am I going to do with the pasuk that says, Vayehi le'ei zignar Shlomo, and it came to pass at the end of the days of Shlomo, he too as Levavo, his wives inclined his heart. Which pasuk was that? Pasuk 4. What it really means is, what are we going to do with the first part of the pasuk? The Gemara has explained, tells us that the second part of the pasuk, his heart was not like the heart of his father David, is in favor of Shlomo. What are we going to do with the first part of the pasuk? Voksiv, but it says Kilabav David Aviv, Kiladav Labav David Aviv, Udalohavi, but Michdiname Lachata, Achikamas, you know the Gemara, the Pasuk is saying, Vayehi Le'ez Ziknar Shlomo, Noshav Hitu Es Lavavo, Lalechet Achadei Elohim Achirim, Velohalach. The Pasuk is really saying that by the end, by the time of the old age of Shlomo, his wives attempted to bend his heart to go after other gods, but he didn't go. The subject of the Pasuk is the wives, what they tried to do. The Pasuk is not, the first half of the Pasuk is not talking about what he did. So it says they attempted, but v'lo halach, he never went after other gods. So the Gemara asks, but it says the Pasuk, Oz Yivne Shlomo, then Shlomo, Pasuk 7, that says, Shlomo built all of these altars to the various gods. Boma Lichmo Shikutz Moav, says the Gemara, it doesn't, Oz Yivne doesn't mean that he indeed built. Shebikesh Livnot Velo Bana, he wanted to, but he didn't. So the Gemara asks, wait a minute, but by Yehoshua it says, Oz Yivne Yehoshua Mizbeach LaHashem. Yehoshua built him his bath to God. Are you going to say Oz Yivne there also means he wanted to build and he didn't build? The fact is that he did build. Ella, over there, must mean Debona, that he built it. Hachinami Debona. So here also, Oz Yivne Shlomo has to mean Shlomo indeed did build the altar. So, what are we going to do with this? It says that he built altars to all of these idolatries. Says the,
huh?
He died. He died at 52. Come on, will you stop with the Alzheimer's over here? Come on, learning a perfect. Yeah, you're right. Worse than you. You're right. Elokidasanya, says the Gemara. You know what it means, as we learned. Rabbi Yossi, Yom Rabbi Yossi says, it says later on in Malachim Bet, it says, V'et ha-bamot asher al-pnei Yerushalayim, asher mi-yemin l'har ha-mishcha, asher bono Shlomo Melech Yisrael, l'ashtar ha-shikuts kitzidonim. It says that the bamos that Shlomo had built were not destroyed. And they were destroyed later on. So the Gemara asks, is it possible that Asa, who was going to be a very pious king, came and he didn't destroy them? Yehoshaphat, who was a pious king, he came and he didn't destroy them. Archebo Yoshiyahu Ubiram. Yoshiyahu was one of the latter kings of Yehuda. Are we to assume that for 200 or 300 years, many pious kings tolerated that which Shlomo built over there? How did they tolerate it? Here there were great kings who cleansed and purified and kashered the whole country of idolatry, and it's only in the days of Yoshiyahu that which Shlomo built on Har Zeisim was destroyed. All the idolatry of Eretz Yisrael, kings Asa and Yoshaphat destroyed them. Ella Matish Rishonim Liachronim Maachronim Lo Osu V'Tolu Behen Lishpach Af Rishonim Lo Osu V'Tolu Behen Lignai. You know, it says like this. The Rashi explains that the Gemara wants to compare Makish et Binyano Shel Shlomo LeBiudo Shel Yoshiyahu. It comes to compare the construction of Shlomo to the destruction of Yoshiyahu. Ma Yoshiyahu Lo Osa Biur Zeh V'Tolu Bo Min HaShemayim L'Shvach Hol Ubir Hashar. Yoshiyahu didn't really destroy all of the idolatry of Eretz Yisrael, but the Pasuk, because he destroyed what was left over, so the Pasuk gives him credit for the destruction of all of the idolatry, even though he was not the one who did it, because it had already been destroyed in the days of Yoshaphat. Af Shlomo, Rashi says, Lo Osa Binyan Zeh. Shlomo never built those altars, never. Ah, so why does the Pasuk say, Oz Yivne Shlomo? So it says, just like by Yoshiyahu, who didn't destroy all of the idols. Many had been destroyed before his days, but he's given credit for them all. Just like as somebody is Binyan HaMishkan, by the Orem Mikla, but also by the Binyan HaMishkan. It says, by Yochim Moshe, Moshe is the one who erected the Mishkan. There were so many other people that were involved with it, but he's given credit for it all. Yoshio is given credit for destroying all of the idolatry in Eretz Yisrael, though he didn't do it. The same thing, the opposite way around. Shlomo is being condemned for the altars that were built on Har HaZeisim, even though he didn't build them. And why is he condemned for it if he didn't build it? Shehoya b'yado limchot, he had the ability to object. He should have been more firm in his objection, v'lo micha, and he didn't object. So in other words, here we have, what's the Gemara doing? The Gemara is taking the pasuk Oz Yivne, that seems to say so clearly, he built, he made it. And the Gemara really proves that the word to build or to do does not necessarily mean that somebody indeed built and did. It can mean that something is being attributed to him, though he didn't really do it. Just as the destruction and the eradication of all idolatry is being attributed to Yoshiyahu, even though there were kings before him who did a great deal of the work, but he's being credited for it because he completed the job. Shlomo is being... Here the word is not credited, but the word is he's being held responsible. He's being held responsible for the construction of that of those idols because he could have objected and he didn't object. If I would be a prophet, an angry prophet walking through Ben Yehuda, understand? Huh? And I would turn to religious Jews and I would say, you're guilty of the abominations in Yerushalayim. And a former Yid will say, Vus, what are you talking about? I eat badats, I daven three times a day. I'm a gita yid, right? And the Navi, the angry Navi, is gonna come through Har Nof. That's right. Okay, let's use Har Nof. He's gonna come down Sholzen and he say, a bunch of sinners, you're guilty of the ugliness that exists in Yerushalayim. Movie houses that are open on Shabbos. McDonald's. You understand? McDonald's. A knife in the heart of Yerushalayim. And the guy on Sholzen is going to say, what are you talking? What do you want from me? What did I do? You know what the Novi is going to say? That's why. Because you didn't do. What did you do? You didn't do anything. And because you didn't do anything, when you should have had 20,000 people from Har Nof standing in front of McDonald's until they closed the miserable thing down and you didn't do it, so the Navi is going to condemn us. Oz Yivne Shlomo means that Shlomo could have wielded the power. And you know what? It's most probably not only a condemnation of Shlomo. If I would be the Navi, I would say, when you condemn the king, you know who you're condemning? You're condemning all of the people, because the king rules by virtue of the people. The Navi over here is condemning everybody. And what about you Jews, the rest of you in Yerushalayim? You see one of his non-shiksa wives over there building an altar on Har HaZeisim. You know what you should have done? You should have taken 100,000 Jews from Yerushalayim and go up over there and to brechen to some shticker. The condemnation of Shlomo is not only a condemnation of Shlomo, it's a condemnation of everybody in the city. Everybody went about their own business. You couldn't get five guys out for a demonstration. That's how you have to look at it.
But the fact remains that Shlomo was supposed to be above.
Why are you insistent on taking the man who wrote Shir HaShirim, Mishlei, and Kohelet and condemning him as much as you can when Chazal don't condemn him? Is that a good question I'm asking you? It was a good question. Huh? Because he's the king, therefore you... all that I'm asking you to do is a balance. The balance is very beautiful. The Navi is going to condemn him in a way that he never deserved. The Navi is going to be saying everything you're saying. But now you have to be able to go one step further. And that's where my frustration is. I want to take you that one step further. You have to be able to look at Shlomo HaMelech in a balanced picture. You have to be able to see that the Pasuk condemns him not for his sins of commission. The Navi condemns him for the sin of omission. He could have done more. Now, even though a sin of omission is a terrible thing, but there's a big, big difference between saying that a man married hundreds of shiksas and a man built altars to idols. Big difference between that and saying, well, he didn't do enough to prevent it. There's a big difference. So what you have to be able to do is you have to be able to see what the Pesukim are saying, but then you have to see what are our rabbis. These are a bunch of babies over here that are just playing games. They're telling us the real meaning of the Pesukim, and I'm saying more than anything else. You can see that the real meaning of the Pesukim is right there in the Pesukim. The Pesukim give you the hints. They don't leave you go for a moment. When a Pasuk says he did what was evil in the eyes of God, that Pasuk is sending such a powerful message. When the Pasuk says twice he wasn't like his father David, sending us a message. So what's the message? That Shlomo HaMelech was a great king, but he could have been greater. He did not fulfill all of the hopes. He did not use all of his abilities and his talents to the fullest. He failed. No question about it, he failed. No question about it that he failed. And you know where the failure... Yeah, you're right. You know who suffers because of the failure? Klal Yisrael is going to suffer. Klal Yisrael is going to suffer. All that I ask of you is to be able to look at it in balance. And I also, as I did by David, and I said that nobody can pass judgment on David until one has learned all of Tehillim with the Mefarshim. Then you know what your homework is? I'll give you the following homework. For Pesach, all you have to learn is Shir HaShir. You understand? Shir HaShir. And you take a look. What does Rabbi Akiva say about Shir HaShirim? If all the shirim of all songs, all poetry is Kodesh, Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodashim. Rabbi Akiva said that. Now, do you think Rabbi Akiva was going to say that about the work of somebody who built altars to idols in Yerushalayim? Kol Hashirim Kodesh, all of the poetry, the great songs are Kodesh, and Shir HaShirim is Kodesh Kodashim. Lo Hoya Kol HaOlam Kedai. Am I making up this Gemara? First of all, if I'm making it up, it's great, you'll never know the difference. But I believe there is a Maimon Chazal that says, Lo Hoya Kol HaOlam Kedai, the whole world was sort of waiting, was not worthy as much as it was the day that Shir HaShirim was written. Mishlei. I can take you through four or five Prakim in Mishlei and you'll see wisdom. And then, of course, Kohelet. It's what Shlomo HaMelech wrote that tells us what he was. That he did not live up to all of the awesome potential. Granted. So the Gemara really condemns him. No, Oz Yivne Shlomo doesn't mean that Shlomo built. Oz Yivne Shlomo means that he could have stopped it, and he didn't stop it. I don't know if I succeeded. Shlomo HaMelech failed. Maybe I failed. Unless maybe, you know, you'll be a few weeks from now or a few months from now, you'll see a Maimon Chazal about Shlomo, you'll read a Pasuk in one of them, and you'll see, you know, Rabbi Gold was indeed right. Yes? I'll tell you, as far as I'm concerned, in Shir Ashirim, just to learn Shir Hashirim with the Rashi. That's all. I'm not the one that, you know, there are so many esoteric Purushim on Shir Hashirim, just to learn it with the Rashi. And you're going to... Well, I discuss it with your teacher out of class and he'll show you... The Mamari Chazal, first of all, there's a tremendous amount of Nevuah and Ruach HaKodesh. He really gives an outline of all of Jewish history. Shir HaShirim, the first few Prakim, are an onti. A magnificent story of Jewish history. He knew it all in advance. Man had prophecy. Yeah. And then, of course, as he describes the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, the relationship of the girl and her lover, it's very powerful. Yes. Or we can learn the Rav Kook's Hagdama to Shir HaShirim. Yes.
Watching the lines yesterday, she said they're very beautiful. She mentions that she was shooting Tessa, and she said, even though you don't prepare my supper, or even though you don't say nice things, whatever it is, I still love you. That's the nicest.
Because the failings of Klal Yisrael are also mentioned, all of them throughout, how they fell and they rejected God and he continued to pursue them.
Like the bride who committed adultery under the foot.
That's right. All right, let me just read till the let me read another few psukim. I can't leave the class without having learned a few psukim. We learned Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, right? Pasuk 14. Vayakam Hashem Satan L'Shlomo. God established, made a Satan, one who came. How do they translate it? An adversary. Very good. I like that word. An adversary for Shlomo. Et Hadad Ha'Adoni. The Edomite Hadad, Mizera HaMelech Hu BeEdom, he was one of the children of the king of Edom, and you see, there's a history to this. Vayibi Yod David at Edom, when David had waged war with Edom, Baalot Yoav Sarat Tzavola Kaveret HaChalalim, Yoav, the commander chief, went to bury the dead. Vayach Kol Zohar BeEdom. In the Gemara, there's a discussion. Whose dead is he burying? There's one opinion in the Gemara that says that Yoav went to bury the dead of Edom, and that the nations of the world said, take a look at this great people, that they will bury the dead of their enemies, because there was a very furious battle that raged between David and Edom, and they wiped out Edom. For 6 months, Yoav and all of Israel remained there until he destroyed every male in Edom. So this Adad, who was from the royal family, he fled with a number of Edomites who were servants of his father, and they came to Egypt. And Adad was a young boy. And he's going to grow up, and he's of course going to grow up with a tremendous amount of hatred to Klal Yisrael because of the massacre of the people of Edom. By the way, the massacre was absolutely justified. Absolutely justified. Edom had been causing a tremendous amount of trouble. They had been sending their marauding terrorists into Israeli territory time and time again. Otherwise, David would not have sent Yoav, the commander-in-chief, to be there for 6 months until they wiped out Edom. Edom simply was a source of great pain to the Jewish people. But there's a price that you pay for everything. It means like this. Adad,
as he flees from Edom, does not go from Edom directly to Mitzrayim, but he makes a number of stops on the way. He arises, Midian is not far from Edom, and from there he comes to Paran. Paran is already the Sinai Desert. They took people with them from Paran, and he came to Egypt, to Paro, the king of Egypt. It means Adan does not come as a loner. He's not, he already comes, he's young, but he's smart. He spends some time in Midian and then some time in Paran, and meanwhile he's gathering around him all sorts of mercenaries, so that when he he comes to Mitzrayim, he doesn't come as an individual, he comes as a man with, you know, like Levi coming in last night into the Merkaz of Billy, doesn't come in alone. He comes in with his whole Chawasta, understand, the entourage. He comes, Hadad comes with the entourage. By the way, I never make political comments for politics' sake, only when you can understand, only where it can make the Navi more understandable. Now you have a picture in your minds of Hadad. Well, she's laughing. Why is she laughing at? Why is that woman laughing? Now you have a picture of Hadad coming into Paramel and Sam Vayitam will buy it. The lechem amalo, he gave my house. And bread, the word bread always means food. Sustenance. Amalo, he promised to give him. The eretz natano, and he gave him a piece of land. And Hadad found the favor very much in the eyes of Paro. He gave him a wife. As a wife, at Achot Ishto, his sister-in-law, the sister of his wife, Achot Tachpenes Hagivira, the sister of Tachpenes. Tachpenes is Paro's wife. She is Gvira, the queen. Vatelud lo Achot Tachpenes et Gnuvat Bino, the sister of Tachpenes, that means his wife. Hadad's wife gave birth to his son Gnuvat. Very difficult name to understand, you know. Name your kid Gamath, Gauthman, Tseach, Raidev. But I haven't seen anybody who says it, but I don't know why, just a theory that he gave this kind of a name sort of as a reminder that their land and their people had been stolen from them by somebody. And what it is for him and for the people around him, a constant reminder of what David did, and someday we're going to take revenge. But Tigmaleu Tachpenes, the Tadalbe Paro, interesting is the child was raised by the queen. Doesn't this sound a little bit like a replay of something else? Yes, Tachpenes is the one who raised him in the house of Paro. Vayihi Gnuvas Beis Paro B'tog B'nei Paro. Gnuvas lived in the house of Paro, and he was he was raised like all of the children of Paro. V'Hadad Shama B'Mitzchayim Ki Shachav David Maroso. Hadad heard in Mitzchayim that David had lain with his fathers, he had died, but he made Yoav Sar HaTzavah. What's interesting is, with regard to David, there is a more respectful way of referring to his death. In other words, you can say that somebody passed away, somebody was nifter, somebody died, somebody up to pagat. You know, there are a lot of different ways, and each one has a different connotation. So I'm wondering whether it's the pasuk. It's really the pasuk who's saying it. When the pasuk speaks of David, it uses the unusual and very special term that he went to lie with his fathers. But remember, Yoav was killed. He was killed. So therefore, most probably the word mate is used. Hadad said to Paro, Shalcheni ve'elech el arzi, send me and I will go back to my land. He now feels that the time has come for him to again raise the banner of battle against Klal Yisrael.
Why did he say
No, no, no. How do you like that? Now, exactly. Oh, Bela, terrific. Terrific. We should have remembered that from chapter, the first chapter. The first chapter of Malachim. You're quoting over there Shakespeare, right? Malachim begins with Ramelach David Zaken Ba Bayamim, right? King David was Zaken Ba. Now, what does it say when David dies in chapter? I think it's in chapter 2. Chapter 2, here. In Pasuk, in chapter 2, Pasuk 10. Vayishkav David im avozov, vayikover beir David. It begins with Vahamelech Shlomo, and King Shlomo was very old. When he dies, it says Vayishkav David. So the Gemara asks, why doesn't it say Hamelech David? So you know what they do? They quote a pasuk in Kohelet, Ein Shilton b'yom hamoves. One doesn't rule on the day of death. At his death, Ois Melech, Ois Melech, Ois Kapolitschmacher. It's all over. He is a commoner. All people are equal in the grave. So over here, when it's talking about Kishachav David and Avosav, it's following exactly the pattern that was already established in chapter 2, Pasuk 10, Vayishkav David and Avosav. Sarah, thanks for asking the question. Bela, thanks for even more for coming up with the answer that saved me. Okay. But see, it's Emes. Pasuk follows the Navi will follow a pattern and does not swerve from it. And if the Navi does move from the pattern, then we have to stand up and ask, why indeed is it written differently? But here it's fine. Vayomer Paro, Paro said, Kimat achosei mi. What's lacking over here? Why do you want to leave me? You want to go to your land? Vayomer, Hadad said, no, ki shaleich tishalkeini, I want you to send me. Vayokim elokim el satan, et rezon ben Eliyada, lo, over here, we're still talking about Shlomo. Another adversary that arose was rezon ben Eliyada, asher borach mi'eit Hadad Ezer, melech Tzofa Adonav, who had fled from Hadad Ezer, the king of Tzofa Adonav. This is somebody to the north. Hadad, the fellow who went down to Mitzrayim, is from Edom to the south. Up there in Tzofar, there's also problem beginning for Shlomo. He also gathered people around him. By Yisar Gedud, he was the officer of a Gedud. A Gedud is a unit in the army. Baharob David Osam, when David killed him. Vayelchu Damesek, they went to Damascus. Vayeshubon, they lived in the city. Vayimlechu b'Damasek, and they ruled in Damasek. Vayisotam Yisrael Kanei Shlomo, he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Shlomo. Vetaro Asher Hadad, and together with the evil that was done by Hadad, so we have Hadad, and we have Rezon ben El Yada. Vayokos b'Yisrael, he rejected Israel, Vayimloch al Aram, and he became king of Aram. So we have two people in place. Beginning with the next pasuk already begins the story of the division of the kingdom. Yerovam ben Nevat, we can save Yerovam ben Nevat till after Pesach. You'll get upset with me. You'll get upset with me now. Let me thank you again for you've all. I mean, you did a very good job today, as you do every day. Questions are good. Everything's good. You should have a chakras from there.